Hey, all you rad dads out there.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Brett here, bringing you another episode of the Rad Dads Show, the parenting podcast where we ask inspiring dads the question, what does it mean to be a rad dad? And if you're listening to this right when it's released, happy Father's Day. Or at least it's just about Father's Day. So to celebrate this year, we have a really special episode for you. This one was recorded live in Las Vegas, Nevada during Punk Rock Bowling 2024. One of the headliners of the festival was none other than Devo. And I had the pleasure of sitting down with Gerald Casale, founding member and one of the primary lyricists and vocalists for the band, just a few hours before their set. Jerry became a father later in life than most, and we discussed some of the nuances of that situation, including his awareness that he may not be around as long for his daughter, but also how there's no perfect time to become a parent. It was actually really sweet how he spoke about his daughter Inara, who's currently about 18 months old, and how her arrival sparked changes in him. How he's living that old cliche that you just don't know the pureness of the love you have for your child until you have one. You could tell he really missed her, and he actually did the classic dad move of pulling out his phone to show us pictures of her as soon as the interview ended. It was just awesome. And of course, we spoke about how de-evolution is real and is a bigger problem today than ever, and about some of the internal conflict that comes with bringing a child into that world. We also chatted about what's new with Devo, including an upcoming documentary, more touring, and lots of other artistic ideas that Jerry's cooking up right now. I really want to give a quick shout out to a few people who helped make this happen. Of course, Jerry, who is very kind and very honest and forthcoming in discussing his family. Ian Fintack, who helped put us in touch with Jerry for this interview. Jeff Winner, who provided promo photos and helped bring this to the finish line on the Devo end of things. And of course, my friend Rad Dad Mark Steiner, who ran the AV for me and just generally helped keep my nerves in check as I was preparing. So what are we waiting for, Spuds? Let's get into it. Here's Gerald Casale of Devo on the Rad Dad Show. Jerry, I really want to thank you for your time and joining me on the Rad Dad Show in the Golden Nugget, the historic Golden Nugget.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas, Nevada for Punk Rock Bowling 2024.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start the way we always do, and by asking you the hardest question that we have. So okay. Get ready. Who are you?
Yeah. Well, now I'm a dad. Yeah, who am I? Yeah, well, I'm just a person who stuck with what occurred to me from when my mind first reached a point where I could conceptualize and where I could reflect and where I knew right from wrong. And it was incapable of forgetting things that I observed. So I had a creative mind, and I had a mind oriented towards, I guess, resisting illegitimate authority.
Yep.
And that started early on. I mean, I got, you know, very good grades. I was very socialized. But people that were mean or evil rubbed me the wrong way.
Right.
And then I think I dedicated my life to fighting stupidity, which is a thankless task. And
not always just thankless, but sometimes fruitless.
Well, de-evolution is real.
Right.
And so there's more brain dead people than ever. There's no excuse for it, but it's true.
Yeah.
And it's just very disheartening and depressing.
Yeah.
You know, and I've watched it happen over the last 50 years. I'm an old man, so I've seen the decimation of public education. I've seen people lose the ability to think critically, you know, to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff, the
yeah.
disinformation from real information, propaganda from truth. And they just repeat and spout slogans en masse, you know, like a colony of drones. And it's now reached fever pitch.
Yeah.
And you can see it happening. And you can see the corruption beginning to end, top to bottom. The United States is now going to become, at best, a plutocracy. or more like what's called a kakistocracy, which is Trump's nihilistic intent is to elevate people who are unqualified and who hate their jobs, hate their positions, and put them in those positions on purpose to dismantle everything.
Yeah.
And who does that serve? The billionaires.
Yeah.
I mean, the more chaos there is, the more World Wrestling Federation mentality, where here's a guy in a white hat, here's a guy in a black hat, and you get the whole crowd riled up and worked up to pick one or the other and take sides and have them fight. That's, the more they do that, the more it benefits the super, super wealthy. Because their agenda is simply no regulation, don't pay taxes. They don't really care if First Amendment rights are trampled on, or human rights are decimated, or women's rights are shit on. They really don't care. And they applaud Trump for being able to corrupt the Supreme Court, which was amazing. Took the highest court in the land and turned it into his fiefdom.
And so, okay, but hang on. You've just brought a child into this world.
Into that world.
So what, so, well, and okay, so we got into all that. Jerry Casale from Devo, obviously, right? Musician, artist, director.
Right.
And through all of that, really aiming to combat de-evolution, which, like we talked about, is maybe, maybe to some degree it's futile. We have to do it, right?
Yeah.
Actually, Billy Bragg talked about it last night on stage. But we have to do it. We have to fight the
fight. It's true. It's true. It, and what's interesting is that, you know, there's a palpable sense of evil in the air like never before, but it's interesting how few people it takes to beat back against that.
Yeah.
Like how few people doing the right thing can ward off, you know, like tons of evil.
Yeah.
It is true. And even though I have no plausible, what's the word? Argument to make to why I would bring a child into this world, I did it simply because my wife, who's much younger than me, reached the point where she wanted a child. And I would have been really selfish to not do that. And I remember a point in my life when everything was gelling and everything was coming together. And for the first time in my life, in 1980, I felt like, okay, a child is a good idea for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
Just growing up the way I did in a large blue collar family and seeing all the strife and all the struggle and all the hardship, I didn't have a good model for parenting.
Okay.
Right? So for the first time in my life I did, and I was with this woman, and by 1985 we'd been together 7 years. She was, quote, the love of my life, and I thought, this is it, we're going to do this. And we talked about it. We made a wedding date. We got engaged, and it all went south during the engagement.
Okay.
Like, I didn't see it coming. Completely sucker punched.
Yeah.
Felt completely foolish. And I, you know, it was devastating. It's traumatic. Took me a few years to even recover and start having some other normal relationship. But then I never found another woman that was either I wanted to have a child with or she wanted to have a child. It wasn't working out.
Right.
So it just looked like I was never going to do it my whole life. So I'd given up on it. And then my wife Krista comes along just when you least expect it. There it was. And I realized how, you know, how open to criticism I would be, because, you know, let's be honest, I won't be around when she's this angry teenager that has to rebel against the parents. And they do rebel no matter how decent and logical and reasonable the parents are.
Yeah.
but I won't be around for that. And that makes me feel really bad at different times of the day and in the middle of the night, you know. That's the truth. And
do you think there's a right time to have children, though? Like,
no,
this is something that's come up on the show a lot. We've had young dads, old dads, like, you know, everything in between. But I, you know, it's funny, like, the constant I think is you know, the love that comes out of it and the love that child deserves too, right? So,
well, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Yeah. My God, I love her beyond what I thought is possible. You hear all these stories from parents and you think you get it, but you don't get it until you do it.
Right.
And then something kicks in that's our animal instinct. And I remember being there in the delivery room and my iPhone going away and, you know, she's coming out.
Yeah.
They cut the cord and I go do the scissors thing and I hold her and that's it.
Yeah.
It's over. You're bonded. Now you'll do anything.
Yeah.
This, you know, this is way beyond a puppy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Do you think, like these are amazing moments in your life, right? Like you'll never forget that moment.
Yeah, I'm overwhelmed. It's like, oh my God, this is a human.
Yeah.
We just made a human. It's now.
Yeah, no matter what you believe, like it's funny. That term like miracle really kind of resonates there. It's kind of, you know, I'm certainly not a religious person.
No, and I know what you mean.
You know, but it's a miracle of science and biology and it's beyond that, really.
Yeah, right? It's frightening. It's like a beautiful horror movie. the replication.
Yes, yeah.
You know, that what we do as organisms, you know, we watch every other organism do it.
Yeah.
And there we are doing it. And now, you know, unlike any other species, this one's not going away barring some tragedy, right? And she has just changed, as you know. You watch your children every month. It's a new human. There's somebody else in there.
Yeah.
And you're watching them form, you know, motor skills, brain activity, forming words, forming a personality. She's 18 months now, and she's a person.
Not just a little person,
a
right?
A person.
She's walking around. I saw her. She had her own energy dome.
Yeah.
And
she loves music, and we didn't push that on her at all.
Yeah.
She just responded every time she heard music. And she completely focused on Bob Marley. That was it.
Oh, cool.
She could be fussy and crying because of teething. My wife puts on Lively Up Yourself or Jammin', you know. And she, literally, we have iPhone video of it to prove to people we're not just wacky parents. Within 15 seconds, the whining and the sniffling stops. And she's all calm. And she's kind of moving her foot.
Yeah.
And now she expects to see Bob Marley. There's three very good full-length concerts on Netflix that you can call up from the 70s.
Yeah.
She expects to see it. So when we just play the music, she looks at the flat screen TV to wanting to find it. And I do think it's because of that hypnotic mid-tempo, you know, pendulum swing of reggae.
Yeah.
Nothing's sticking out at you. It isn't Devo. It's not punk. It's not in your face sounds. Everything's played flawlessly, sung flawlessly. And it is, you know, that music, it's kind of like Rasta gospel, right?
Yeah.
It's meant to hypnotize you.
So you're kind of describing this new change in your life. Do you think having a child has changed you?
Oh yeah, definitely.
How?
Definitely. You know, she demands attention, and I love giving her that attention because it's really rewarding and amazing, right? All the time.
Yeah.
She's so sweet, and it's such a positive, innocent thing there in front of you that it takes your mind off of all this horrible stuff that we're fed daily. You know, it's like, I try not to even watch any of the cable news anymore because it's like Videodrome.
Yeah.
It seems to me to be like a poison. It's all canned. The level of discourse is all controlled. The same 10 talking heads show up all the time.
Yeah.
It's kabuki. It's crap. And it's designed to just make you give up and poison. And I'm feeling nicer because of Inara.
Yeah. It's pure. right? Yeah. It's pure, especially at that age.
Well, you have daughters in the Goldilocks zone right yep. now, both of you, where that's all the good stuff. They're talking, they're thinking, they're interacting, but they're still very innocent.
Yep.
And they're not saying, you asshole, right? And they're
not too often, yeah.
Yeah, they're sweet.
Yeah.
And you can just see them delighting in using the power of the fully developed brain.
Yeah.
They're probably creating things, right? Just on their own, creating
absolutely
drawings and
that's one of the most
stories.
Fun things I find.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you see it with your daughter, even at 18 months, right? Those little things that they do and figure out and put together and
yeah.
Even when they get paints and music, right? Like
yeah.
a little piano or something, and they discover that joy of, I did this thing to make that sound.
She's doing
right?
that now. Yeah,
yeah.
She's doing that now. And of course, we have the little three-dimensional cognitive puzzles and
yep.
sculptures you put together, and you put the ball on the top and it rolls down and you
yeah.
get it. And she just loves figuring that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So you're, I think all the guys at Devo are dads, is that right?
Well, I guess.
Am I correct on that?
Yes, now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Mark has adopted children.
Yeah.
My deceased brother Bob had two children that
yeah.
are now not children at all. They're in their 30s.
Yeah.
Bob, Mother's Ball, has children spanning from 20 down to, I think, 10. Three children. And Jeff just had a, Jeff Friedel.
Yeah.
He just had a child who's 7 months old.
Yeah. Wow. And so you guys are sort of going through a lot of the same
yeah,
things at the
yeah.
same time. So do you kind of feel like you're getting that support from the rest of the band members, or you taking
well,
advice from them?
Jeff. Definitely from Jeff.
Yeah, sure.
The others are more like, yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you think that's a big deal right now. Like,
yeah,
wait
yeah.
till they are teenagers
yeah, exactly.
or whatever, that kind of stuff.
The good thing with Jeff is every device, like, you know, the electric swing, the little play mat, this and that, that she outgrew.
Yeah.
Give to Jeff.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not only is that like a generosity of sharing those things, but hey, get it the hell out of my house too,
because
right?
well,
you
that.
Accumulate all these things.
There's that, but they outgrew everything
yeah.
so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. You talked a little bit about your upbringing, like as you became a father, did that kind of create a reflective moment for you to kind of think back on your upbringing? You kind of talked a
well,
little bit
you know,
about
my,
that, but...
You know, my parents were from the generation where babies had babies. In other
yep.
words, my mom was barely 19 and my dad was 22 when I was born, right?
Yep.
That's not ever a great idea. I mean, I can see that now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been ready for this then at all, because you don't really know who you are yet, and you haven't become successful and lived your life yet, and so the kid is a drain.
Yeah.
You would feel like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And of course, you know, my parents were blue collar and Catholic, so they weren't allowed to use birth control.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were from a family where everybody was breeding like rabbits. My mom came from a family of 11 children.
Wow.
And then each of them were having 5 and 6 children.
Yeah.
And I was like the designated babysitter because I was on the oldest end of it. And I would just watch these kids run them ragged because my dad worked all day.
Yeah.
And my mom, you know, without the benefit of the technology we have today, was washing diapers, right?
Yeah.
And drying the diapers and putting them back on. There were no disposable diapers.
Yeah.
I just can't even imagine it when it takes so much energy for one child. Like we were, for the first 4 months, we were not sleeping. We had 3 hour
yeah.
shifts, right? Where 3 hours of sleep was all you could get. And you're going, okay, great.
Yeah.
and then you think of these people who are so young themselves, and my father getting up at 7 and going to work in a mold making plant. It's insanity, because
yeah.
they turned right around and did it again, and then they did it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's exhausting thinking about it.
Well, and especially as a young person, right? And are you Are you capable to, like we're talking about people are having kids in their late teens and early 20s, like to cope with that amount of, we know that stress comes along with being a parent, and it's not always bad stress, but it's stress, right? No. And it's worth it to deal with it. But as a young person yourself, I mean, how do you learn the skills to cope with all that, right? And
exactly. It's easy for me now because I just watch her in wonderment, you know? Yep. And I have nothing left to prove, really, in my life. And you don't put yourself first. You can't put yourself first once this kid is there, right? But that doesn't bother me.
Yep.
But if I was 22, I'm sure that would get to me.
Yeah. We talked to lots of people on this show, and that's a big thing that they share is, you know, I was worried that having kids would kind of take me away from me, right? And I think as obviously as you get older and you gain more wisdom and more understanding of the world and more become more comfortable with yourself, that's not as big of a thing. But certainly as a young person, that's a big shock.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's kind of an amazing thing.
Well, wait, how old were you when you had your first kid?
31.
Okay.
31.
And you? Same.
Yeah. And it was a shock for me.
Yeah, I would say that's about as young as you want to do it.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I would have been ready before that. And we were fortunate to have been able to sort of choose the time when we would have children. Not everybody, you know, has that.
Yeah, I guess that's about when I started thinking about it, too. It was right after we put out the Freedom of Choice record.
Yeah. Yeah, you had that freedom of choice, right? Yeah.
Suddenly, what always seemed like a verboten, like, no way I'm having a kid,
yep,
turned into like, God, I think I'd like to have a kid.
Well, and there was a lot changing probably for you around that time, too.
Oh, everything.
Yeah, everything changed, right? With Whippet coming out especially,
right? Yeah. But yeah, it was nice to go to good restaurants.
Absolutely. I was curious, you know, you guys are still really busy these days. I mean, Devo's active. You've got...
Well, we could have been much more active, but I'll take what I can get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're touring, you're playing shows pretty regularly.
Well, last year we did. We played a whole cluster of shows in Europe, all through Scandinavia,
yep,
Germany, and Sweden, and into England and Scotland, and then we came back to the United States and played the whole West Coast from Washington and Oregon, California. That was like 11 or 12 shows, and then 2 weeks later we flew to Australia.
Yeah,
and we played 8 shows there. So that was fun.
Incredible.
That was great.
Devo's huge. I mean, I look at the anticipation here too of folks waiting for you to play Punk Rock Bowling, and you know, I'm in that group. What I'm curious about is, does it change now having to leave for those shows with having a little one at home? You know,
yes.
Like, what's that?
Yeah, you don't stop thinking about your kid.
Yeah,
and you know, you miss your kid.
Yeah,
and I'm calling into my wife, how's everything, all the time. You know,
yeah,
something just would have never occurred to me before.
Yeah. And I mean, we're lucky. We're in a generation where we've got, you know, we can video call
our
kids.
Yeah.
You could get a million pictures. You can have those all.
Any moment.
It's not the one photo in your wallet, right, of your kids from 5 years ago. You can have a picture of 2 seconds.
No, it's at any moment, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I want to give you a bit of a chance to talk a little bit about what's happening with Devo. So we're here for Punk Rock Bowling.
Right.
How are you feeling about Punk Rock Bowling? You're playing in a few hours here.
Punk Rock Bowling loves Devo.
Yep, you've been here a few times. We saw you here in 2013.
Right,
that was
2013.
The last time we saw you, but
I think Josh Fries was drumming then, wasn't he, or no?
Mark says no. He's the expert.
That was Josh Friedel.
Jeff, yeah.
Josh Fries drummed another time here with us. Yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah.
And is Jeff playing tonight? Or
yes,
is it,
Jeff's playing tonight. Jeff. I mean, once Josh joined the Foo Fighters, that was it.
Yeah.
He's a Foo Fighter.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, those people are like war machine. They're just, right?
Yep.
World domination. They don't quit playing.
Yeah. Yeah, they're busy. But Devo's busy too. You're,
yeah.
So you're playing tonight. So this will be the, what?
Third time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting. And do you guys enjoy, like, what do you like about coming back to punk rock bowling?
Well, it's just, it's a really enthusiastic, great crowd.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very focused type of crowd.
Yeah.
And we like the fact that they like us because we're not really punks. I mean, we were punks maybe in the biggest sense of the word, where when I think of punk, I think of people who were DIY,
yep.
right? And who resisted formulas.
Yeah, anti-establishment.
And, right, and, exactly, yeah. And rebelled against stupidity and conformity.
Yep.
So Devo did do that, but we were more like punk scientists.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really adhere to, here's the three or four chords you can use, here's the way you dress,
yep.
here's what you talk about. And we certainly weren't nihilists. We had a lot to talk about.
Yep. But I think that speaks to that ethos, right? Like, I think people, regardless of kind of the music, if you have that ethos, people relate to it.
Yeah.
They identify with it, right?
Yeah, I do think that they see that it's real. And that's what it has in common with the best punk. Which was, that stuff was done with a sense of urgency and honesty.
Yeah, yeah. You also have a documentary that's,
yeah.
I don't know if it's come out yet, but it's premiered.
Well, they're
right?
kind
it's
of putting
seen.
It around at some festivals, yeah. and I know it hasn't been slated and scheduled and sold in a way like, okay, it's on Netflix then.
Yeah.
But that will happen.
That's coming. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, tell me a little bit about what is that footage that's being shared? What's the, you know, what's the story that's kind of being told? And
well, I mean, Chris Smith, you know, the director for Vice, had access to so much stuff that isn't even stuff that we gave him. It's just out there. It's out there in the world. I mean, you could start searching on the web, and you'll find so much Devo stuff that you could make 20 documentaries, right? And so it's like the Cliff's Notes.
Okay.
Because here's one man's idea of distilling down what he saw into something the way he sees it.
Yeah.
I mean, me as a director, I take that same material, all those same assets, and do a completely different story and a completely different document that would have focused on other things altogether. But you know, it is what it is, right?
Yeah. Well, I know we're really excited to see it at some point here. And you put out a solo EP. This would be end of 2022, but
yeah, I do that as much as I can. I'm about to do another one, and this one will actually be full length. It'll be
great.
An EP.
Yeah.
And it's I'll let you look this up. I won't digress and go into it, but it's a Native American term from a Southwest Native American tribe whose name I can't remember right now. But it's a phenomena that they labeled after their observations of white men coming and settling and taking their land. The word is Wetiko.
Wetiko.
Wetiko. Okay. And I wrote a suite of songs. I was so inspired by Wetiko. All I can say is that it's the American Indian version of de-evolution.
Okay.
And so I was inspired to write a whole suite of songs based on that concept.
Wow. Well, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Certainly a conversation that lots of people are having too around the world. So we're from Canada, where you know, sort of that concept of colonialism and recognition of what Indigenous people have gone through over the years is a big conversation. Still, something that many, many people are not ready to wrap their heads around and acknowledge and admit. But it is very, very moving when you really start to dig into what that experience
was like. Well, it's almost like greed on a level of a virus, like a disease.
Yeah. Well, and I think
it's never enough.
One of the things that I think is really interesting about that too is people think about that as something that just happened in the past, but those people and those descendants of those people are still
at it.
Well, yeah, and the recipients of it too, right? The indigenous folks, their descendants are here, and they have that sort of generational trauma that they carry with them too.
Yeah,
right?
They're born into it.
Yeah, and so that's not something I think people are really ready to. People aren't as ready to talk about and think about. And so, yeah, that sounds like a really interesting project. Anything else going on for Jerry or for Devo that you want to tell our listeners
about? You know, hopefully Mark will take his foot off the brake in 2025.
Okay.
And we'll be doing a lot of things.
Okay.
That's my hope, because there's, you know, Devo, there's not a dearth of or a lack of ideas, right? The ideas are all there. It's about opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, I have so many things that I wanted to do that didn't get done, right? I'm so frustrated by it. But a lot of them still could be done.
Yeah.
Like a graphic novel based on Devo, and a film.
Okay.
Film.
Like a feature film.
Yeah, feature film.
Okay.
You're not a biopic.
No.
Not a biopic at all.
Like a inspired by Devo.
Yeah,
like
in other words, like
kind of.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Proof of concept.
Yeah.
This would be a movie about De-evolution.
Yeah,
yeah, but it would be a drama.
Yeah.
Dramedy.
Dramedy. Okay.
Dark comedy.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's all really exciting.
All right.
We're excited to see you tonight at Punk Rock Bowling.
Yeah.
One last thing. Any advice for dads out there listening? Maybe new dads. You've got that fresh experience in your mind. Any advice for new dads?
Brush your teeth and use mouthwash before you get your daughter or son up in the morning.
That's good advice. I like that one. Awesome. Thanks, Jerry. Really appreciate your time.
Okay.
All right. That was Gerald Casale of the mighty Devo on the Rad Dads Show. Thank you so much, Jerry, for joining us. And I want to thank you for listening. The Rad Dads Show is a labor of love. People are always asking us, what's the best way to support you? And to tell you the truth, the best way is to share this episode. Share our posts on social media, tell your friends, or drop us a review on iTunes or Spotify. Those things are so easy, but you know what? They mean so much to us. And if you take something away from an episode, something resonates with you, let us know. We love hearing those stories too. And if you're looking for more Rad Dads content, more Rad Dads interviews, find us wherever you get your podcasts, or give us a follow on social media. On Instagram, you can find us at @rad_dads_show. And on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, @RadDadsShow. And you can also head over to our YouTube channel to watch all these interviews, including this one as well. Wherever you're watching or listening, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. It really helps us a lot. Lastly, Rad Dads is first and foremost a community organization aimed at positive parenting. And you can check out what we do over at raddadsyeg.com. That's raddadsyeg.com. Thanks for tuning in. In the meantime, and in between time, stay rad.